I gave you each a little, little card or paper with a spiritual thermometer on it. And, yes. Here it is on, you each have a paper, and here is my wonderful representative of the spiritual thermometer. And the reason that I want to talk about the spiritual thermometer and the ego is on my journey, I found it very difficult to discover what was my my ego personality and what was God in me and how I could sort all this stuff out. Because our ego is something that is so close to us that we can't sometimes go beyond it. And it's an important part of our evolution of our soul, because we began as this simplest consciousness and moved into what we call self-consciousness. And when I say self-consciousness, I mean we began to recognize that we were a self and we were evolving. And that is when we were connected with our first ego. The ego is there to help us to experience the third dimension, which is called the opposites. In the third dimension, we live in the opposites. We live in fear, we live in joy, we live in sorrow, we live in hope. We live in all the many, many experiences that we have in the opposites. And the opposites are there for one purpose, and that is to help us to get judgment, and it uses the ego to give, it judges, it evaluates, it does all these wonderful things. But the problem with the ego that it thinks it is everything. It empowers itself to be everything. It starts to live its life as the fullness of who we think we are. It is not our real self. It is our limited self. And only as we can move and recognize the ego part of ourselves can we ever move into the next dimension of being, which is the Christ dimension, the fourth dimension, it's the Buddhic dimension. It just depends on what your background is, what you would call it. I simply call it the fourth dimension. Because the third dimension is where we learn, our souls develop, our souls become talented in some aspect or another. We have all these abilities that we are accruing from the other lifetimes. But we've also had different egos, just like we had different personalities. So every incarnation we had, we got a personality and we got an ego that was cooperating with our personality. So this is what's come with you. You have got an ego that came to help you to develop this personality self of yours into another aspect of finding your real self. And this is why I created this spiritual thermometer, because I began to understand as I was trying to let go of my ego self and move into my real self, I truly, truly didn't know what to do or how to do it. And I had an interesting experience when I was trying to get rid of my ego self. And it was that I had to, well, first of all, I want to tell you, I was a seamstress. I created my own clothes. I was in high school, I was just on top of my game. I came into this lifetime with a lot of talents that I had accrued from other lifetimes. So here I was making my own clothes. I just didn't make my own clothes. I made French design clothes when I was a senior in high school, which impressed my sewing teacher because she just was awed by all my talent and ability. And I thought I was really something special. Very, very special. And I just design clothes for my friends, and I did little things, and I thought maybe someday I'm going to design school and become a fashion designer in New York City. And this is who I was. This is who my identity was, this fashion designer. And then I got married. And what happened to that? I kind of dropped that aside, and I became very mother consciousness. I became the mother, and I had four children, and I put my desires aside, but I used my talents, as sewing talents, to make beautiful clothes for myself, and for my family, and my husband, and I was a very busy lady. You can imagine, with four daughters, and a husband, and myself, man, I was sewing every single day, and I loved it. I loved sewing. It was who I was. This is, people would come and want to see what I was created to wear. And I saw I had to make a new outfit every single week before I went to church because I wanted everybody to see my beautiful outfit. And that's who I was. That was Jane. And I owned that. And as I began to learn to meditate, and I kind of went back and I sat and meditated after church. Now, I had already seen my first past life. So the past life, first of all, smashed my ego. Because then I realized that I had other lifetimes, and who was I in these other lifetimes? Did I have an ego in that lifetime? See, these are all questions I was beginning to ask. And so I'm sitting there and saying, well, how do I get rid of my ego. What do I need to do? And it was stop sewing. My talents and my abilities, this was so loud. I knew I was hearing something very, very clear. And it was stop sewing. I did not know what to do with myself. I felt like I had lost my best friend. I was grieving. I thought, oh my God, this can't be right. God gave me this beautiful, wonderful ability, and I'm not using it, and you know that's not right. And I was talking to myself. Who was talking to me? My ego was talking to me, saying, oh, this is, couldn't be right. Oh, I didn't really hear that. But there was a part of me that had to step back and look at that. I'd already developed the observer self that I'm hoping that you will all tap into and make it stronger. I had that part of me kind of clear, not all the time, but more than before. So what happened was I decided I'm going to try this. So I set my sewing aside, and it was like, give away all your fabrics. Now, I want to tell you, I had fabrics up the gazoo. I had more fabrics. And I thought I would absolutely die to have to give away my beautiful fabrics that I got at bargain prices, and it was so important. So I did. I packed it up. I took it to the Salvation Army and gave every single piece of fabric that I owned, every pattern, every zipper, every button. Now, that was drastic. But I wanted to say, I want you more, God, than anything else in my life. And I'm going to prove it to you because I'm going to give up my greatest treasure, my greatest thing. And so I did. And then what was I to do all day? That was my life. How was I going to go through my life when all I did was sew, and I had this wonderful creative mind that was doing all this stuff? And it was like, spend the time meditating that you spent sewing, Jane. Well, you know what? I didn't have anything else to do. So I thought, you know what? This is pretty good. I'll do this. And I'd already started meditating, but I was only doing it in the morning before the children getting up. And I began to much more seriously do my meditations instead of being so busy. So busy, busy, busy. And what happened was that as I gave up that person, I destroyed who I thought I was. I destroyed that part of me that thought that that's who all that I was. And the wonderful, wonderful, joyous thing that happened was I could set it aside and walk and look at it and be detached from it. And it didn't own me anymore because it owned me. I didn't know how much it owned me. And it was who I was and how I lived my life ever since I was little. And everything was gone. But what I was going into was I was beginning to move into a new phase of spiritual growth. A new idea of, if I'm not this, what am I? What am I? How do I connect with this other thing that I am? Because I don't know what I am. So the spiritual thermometer started out of my creative mind. Now, what happened when I gave up my sewing abilities and let that all go? God in me started to use my creativity in a new way. It didn't get shut down. It got just shut down from doing that. So now I'm open to use my creativity to do other things, like figure out things, create wonderful things to help me spiritually to move forward. You see, that's how the spiritual tools came about. That's how the seven steps came about. They were all came from my creative mind that was no longer creating dresses, but was creating ideas, divine ideas on my journey. So the thing that I thought I lost that was so precious to me and I finally let go of brought me into a whole new idea of who I was. And as I started moving into this new space of being, and I want to say space of being, it started making it possible for me to start looking at my ego self and what else was it attached to? What else? Was it the children? Well, of course it was the children. I was so attached to my children. They were everything. They were the most important thing besides my sewing and myself that was in my world. And I thought, okay, I've got to detach myself from making these children the way I want them to be. That was my ego. They need to be smart. They need to be perfect. They need to do this. They need to do that. I had all kinds of stuff. I had them in a box like this. I had four daughters, and they were all in a very, very tight box. And that's who they were, and I was their mother. And I thought, oh my God, now I've got another big step to let go of. And so away goes the mother idea of who the mother was and how those children needed to be raised. By now, I had started to understand that they were souls in evolution. So I had to start looking at them differently, and I started to be able to detach myself from being the mother to being the spiritual mother that is much more able to see their needs than the mother that I was that was in the box and put them there. I had to take my kids out of the box and help them develop and give them boundaries, give them very important boundaries to live by, not things that Jane needed them to do, but they needed to do to support their soul. So letting go of that part of my ego was a very important part of moving myself again forward. But in the process, I realized that my ego, the more I let go of my ego, the more it wanted to grab hold. The more I tried to get clear with myself, the more it wanted to take charge because it knew it was going to be annihilated. You see, the truth of the matter is we have to annihilate our own ego. That's what the journey is about. The ego comes in, it works with us for many lifetimes, different egos, by the way, different personalities. And then we come into the place where then you have to move out of the ego into the God self. The ego can never go to God, as God is all-powerful, all knowledge, has opportunities to put in wonderful causes for people and all kinds of wonderful things that God gets to do with you individually and collectively. So once I started to realize that, did I just go off? I can feel, okay. Once I began to feel, understand that this part of me, this little ego part of me that was slowly but surely getting annihilated, it started clawing. And bad did it get me. It wanted, oh, it would give me all kinds of reasons not to do things and all kinds of dreams of fear and, oh, what will happen if I move into this new space, nobody will know me or like me or care about me. All those kinds of things were in my mind. And I realized that it's my ego that doesn't want to let go and take itself into the next dimension of our whole beingness. Because that fourth dimensional beingness is where you have that clarity, where you are detached from the opposites. And it seems like you wouldn't care about anything because you're detached. So what? So what? The house is burning down. So what? It's not that kind of thing. It's beyond that. It's a understanding of what's happening in your life and whatever area you are moving in at that present time. So going to the next dimension of being, you have to let go of that ego part of you because it can't go there. It can't. It would grab it up for itself and be the biggest judge in the world. It would judge everybody and everything. And when you're in judging other people, believe me, you're in your ego. I know that to be true because that was so clear to me that when I used to judge and say, oh, she should be doing that, or he should be doing that, or they did that to me, oh my goodness, I'm really feeling awful. Well, that was my ego. My ego liked to find problems for myself. If not, if you're too happy and I'm not happy, I'm going to say something to make you unhappy so that you're as unhappy as I am. Now, you've been around people like that. If you're really happy, they don't want you to be happy. They're going to put some little fire on you so you aren't as happy as you could be. And that's the wonderful thing, is that you get free. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how people treat you. You're beyond it. You are clear with it. You are free to be who you are, and the third dimensional world doesn't attack you like it does when you are an ego living in the third dimension. The fourth dimension sees things clearly. It understands where it is. It understands what needs to be done, and it's not done for its ego purposes. It's done because it loves, it cares, it wants to support, it wants to give. That's the nature of this higher part. It is a service. It's unselfish service. It's not asking for anything in return. It is happy to do it, and if it's appreciated, that's wonderful. If it isn't appreciated, that's wonderful too. Because a lot of things I do, it's not appreciated. Because my job is to kind of, my students know that my job with them is to always put the light on them, always support them. And what is your next spiritual step? And what is it that you need to do? What is the ego telling you that you shouldn't be? And, you know, it's very unpopular sometimes because we don't want to hear that. We don't want somebody shining the light on us. And then we have to take action. Then we have to take responsibility. We can no longer hide. And so this is the hard part, but you cannot be, you cannot not do that what you're supposed to do, because it's yours to do. Not because you want to put someone down, it's because you love them and you know, boy, if they take this step, they're going to get higher, get more understanding, get more spiritual awareness. So I'll always push you because I'm being pushed. I'm always being pushed to take my next step, to get the next revelation, to get my next understanding. And in the process, you are being pushed to do the same thing. It's the way the world works. It's the way the energy flows. It just flows and it pushes us. So the ego gets in a big fight with us. And the more we are conquering our ego, the bigger the battle. And that was my biggest surprise, that I thought, oh, I
gotten this done, that done, the next thing. Oh, the best ego of all. Oh my God, I almost forgot to tell you. It's the spiritual ego. Oh man. Oh, the spiritual ego is absolutely fabulous. Oh, it is so wonderful. It is the one that, oh my goodness, I am so illumined. Oh, I know all the answers. I'm so great. And that has to go too, because it has no place to live in the fourth dimension. It knows it all, doesn't need to read, oh, I've already read that book, I'm already doing this, I read 17 books, and I am an encyclopedia of spiritual things, and just ask me. And I had that one as I was moving. One of the things is when I started to see my past lives, and I was so excited about this, I just started telling everybody about this big step I took. I saw a past life. Aren't I wonderful? You know, that wasn't what I said to them. Aren't I wonderful? But I had it in my aura, my energy. Oh, this is what I did. Oh, my goodness. I discovered this. And then I could not speak of past lives for probably 12 years. Every time I had a past life experience, every time I was doing something to get a new revelation, I was not allowed to speak of it. I couldn't tell anybody but my best friend that was going through the same process as I was. Otherwise, I know nothing, I see nothing, I say nothing. And that's the way it was, because I had my ego self wanted to pick it up and dance with it. And it wasn't allowed to, because if it did that, it was destroying something that was trying to emerge in me, trying to open its door to me, and allowing me to spread my wings and to find myself. Inside me was something that was miraculously beautiful and creatively one with something greater than itself, knowing itself, but knowing its oneness with this other part of me. I don't know how to say it better than that. It's just, it's letting that self go. And it was the greatest thing and the greatest experience I ever had, because it was so heavy. You don't know until you start letting it go how much it pulls you down, how much you drag it with you. You are constantly defending yourself or boosting yourself up or putting yourself down. I mean, it's a journey that's not going to be too rewarding when you die and you go to heaven and you say, here I am, God, another incarnation, and man, I messed up here and I didn't do this, and boy, I got all confused, and I should have done this and I did that, and I have all these excuses. And that's fine, Jane, don't worry about it. You just go back down again and start to untangle the mess you made this time. Well, I'm going to tell you, when I leave this body, I am going to leave this body squeaky clean. I tell you, I don't want any more. And I don't want to do anything that isn't in the best interest of my soul. And I don't want to do anything that isn't in the best interest of your soul. Your soul is my soul. And when you start to get to that place of your evolution that you understand that you are all part of my body, even though you seem to be sitting there, and I'm a part of your body, and you start to understand how one we are, then what is it that I wouldn't do for you? That, because you are part of me, and it's an exchange, a great exchange. So the ego that is always trying to push on you and yank on you, and tell you that you're not okay, or tell you that you're so okay. Either way, it's in the opposites. And the goal of the spiritual student is to go beyond the opposites. And that's a journey. And that takes a long, hard look at oneself. And it keeps turning and turning and turning. You feel like you're on a spit, that you're turning on the spit, and you have to let go of this thing and that thing that you know is not good for you, that's not supporting you, not helping you to be the person you can possibly be in this lifetime. So this spiritual thermometer has been my best friend in so many ways. Of all the things that I did, my seven steps and my spiritual thermometer are probably my favorites that have helped me the most on my journey. But the reason this has been such an important thing for me is that once I started to realize when I got down below into my ego, I could not make any wise decisions. And so I put my little spiritual thermometer on my refrigerator, and I had it on my kids' notebooks too, so that they could take them to school. They weren't this pretty, because Lynn put this together, and it's much prettier than the one I put together. But it's the thing that helped me, because I check myself out every single day, because you know, you always walk into your refrigerator to look at something, so you're going to see your refrigerator door. And my kids all saw the refrigerator door. And I could say, okay, where are you coming from? Are you coming from here? Are you coming from here? I want to know where you're coming from. And it was very helpful in raising my kids, because they'd say, they even call up now and say, Mom, I'm a two, and I'm dropping down to a one. Help me. Okay? And so it's wonderful. They're 40 years old, 50 years old. They call me, you know, where am I on the spiritual thermometer? Oh, boy, I'm a two and a half, and I'm drowning. Gosh, then that's information that's good and important for you to know, because that means that you're observing yourself. You are observing yourself. That's why I push so hard at you to be the observer of self. Don't get lost in yourself. Be the observer, because the more you're the observer of self, the freer you're going to be to observe that ego and its behavior. It's behavior for attention. It's behavior for who it thinks it is. And your ego goes through many, many changes throughout your lifetime as far as what it feels about itself. It may feel great about itself when it's in high school, but my gosh, it gets married and it starts to feel not so good, or maybe it gets a job and then you're not feeling as good about yourself as you did in high school when you were the track star or the beauty queen, or maybe the cheerleader. Whatever it was that you did, maybe the top student in your class, or maybe the bottom student of your class, didn't matter. Whatever you did is at that point of your life. Then as you move into other aspects of your life, your ego has a different kind of change that takes place within you. And as it has this little change that happens, you start to see things differently. And you start to observe your life in a more critical parent starts coming out in your head. You start criticizing yourself far more than you need to. It's good to watch yourself, but don't be critical. And I don't want that observer of yours becoming the critical parent, because that's no good either. It has to be the adult. It has to come in as the adult, the clear-thinking adult. That's what it needs to. If you find that your observer is beginning to become the critical parent in your head, oh, you didn't do this right, you didn't do that right, oh, boy, all that stuff, then you know that it is the critical parent in you, the critical part of the ego, and not the real you, the real part of you. Because this is what we need to let go of. And this is why not many people want to hear this. You know, most of us are very happy with our egos. Like Jane was. She was very content and happy with her ego until God got a hold of her. You know? And started shaking me loose. But I wanted God ever since I was 5 years old. I wanted a relationship with God. And God heard me and knew that it was time for me to start moving into that aspect of myself. So it's all about being in integrity with your soul. Not your ego is never in integrity. it just dances around. And it's the more I saw my ego, I just thought, I got so I couldn't stand it. Because, boy, it got so loud and clear in my head that it was what it was, that it's just like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, I said that. Oh, my God, I couldn't have done that. That was my ego. And I don't want that to be a part of me. I want that to be behind me. So whatever is keeping you stuck, ask for guidance to find out what it is and move it out. Because if you are stuck in an identity of yourself as something other than the spiritual being that you are, you are stuck in an ego that thinks it is a teacher, a banker, whatever, a minister. You can get stuck in the fact that you're a minister, and this is who you are, and this is, you are so important because you are a minister, or a doctor, or just simply working at GM on the assembly line. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter at all. You get identified with that. You get identified with it. You have to move out of that identity of self. Now, yes, it was very, I did a radical thing. Throwing out all my fabric, throwing out all my patterns, and letting go. But I'll tell you, I was determined. I was determined. I wanted to move. And I didn't know any other way to say, yeah, God, I'm in this game, and I'm in it for keeps. And if it means I have to give up this, I will. Now, the friend that I was a very, that went on this journey with me, she played the piano, and she was exquisite. And she had a baby piano in her living room, and she was marvelous. And when I gave up my fabric, and she gave up playing the piano all day when her kids were gone, or when she was as much as I was making clothes, she was playing the piano. That was who she was, and she had to let go of playing the piano. And that was as hard for her to do as it was for me to give up my clothes. So, you know, it's radical, but I want to say to you, maybe you don't have to do that. Maybe that's not yours to do. But I know that when I really got that out of my way, I was able then to use the same talents and abilities in other ways. See, I was focusing on this and doing this, and God wanted me to use these same talents and abilities and move it over here where I could benefit my spiritual growth. So, anyway, the ego is part of the process that we need to look at and let go of, because it's so sneaky. It is very, very sneaky. And when you are at the a certain part of your spiritual growth, you start to really look at the ego part of you. And once you say that you want it destroyed, destroy my ego, I want to become spiritually aligned, because that has to go in order for your perfect spiritual alignment, because it doesn't go in. It's like a squirrel being a human being. It can't be a human being. It has to drop being a squirrel and be a human being. Well, the ego has to be dropped at this point so it can be the spiritual being that it is. Because it isn't a human being, it's a spiritual being. You see, you're a spiritual being, but you think you're a human being. And I know there's a lot of things that people say about you're a spiritual being having a human experience. But what you have to do is have that spiritual experience and then move into the conscious awareness of your spiritual beingness. So yes, it's true, we are a spiritual being having a human experience, but we have to drop the human part of us to move into the spiritual part, the being part of us, the going beyond the opposites, the ability to make a huge shift in consciousness, because the fourth dimensional consciousness You have so many, you are unlimited. You are an unlimited self. You can move and have your being in many, many aspects. You aren't limited to this body, so to speak. You have other expressions. But only when you get there can you understand what I'm really saying. It's worth it. All I can say is I encourage you, I encourage you, I encourage you to become more spiritually aligned with your spiritual self. And the more you become aligned with your spiritual self, your friendships are going to change, because you're going to see those people in your life that are all in ego, and you no longer can play the role that they want you to play in their ego ego play. And sometimes I know I had to move out of some of the friendships I had when I was Jane the dress designer. I had to let go because it was no longer, it didn't serve me anymore. It wasn't the right place for me to live and have my being. I had to move out of that. Like an alcoholic, they tell you, you don't go back to the bar because you just pick up again. It's so easy to pick up again. And so it's like I stayed out of the fabric store for years. And every once in a while, I go to a fabric store and say, oh, I think I'll make something. And I'll buy a piece of fabric. And I'll bring it home. And I'll look at it and say, I don't know. I don't know what to do with you. Oh, well. So Catherine knows every once or twice a year, we go by the fabric store. I always buy a piece of fabric. And I always have it in my little box. So someday I'll go to the Salvation Army. But hey, what can I say? But I did have fun picking out all the fabrics for this. That was fun. So sometimes I get to use my fabric. But I guess I want to leave you with an idea and a thought here. And the idea is to keep working on your observer self, because that is a very important thing to have, a tool to have in your head. Because it will help you to decipher what's real and what isn't real. And what's real about you and what isn't real. And when you're in your ego and when you're in your personality, you know, what is that doing? And how does your personality work with certain people? And how does your ego feel when it's with certain people? I mean, they're checking this out because it's wonderful to get rid of that part of you that is really quite holding you back, because you're ready to move into this next dimension, or you wouldn't be sitting here. And there's not too many people that want to move into this dimension. This is not a popular class. Mm-hmm. It is not popular. It's like forgiveness. When I do the seven steps and the fifth night is forgiveness, I can't tell you how the attendance goes. It's just a magic thing. Half the people that are there are gone. It always happens. And so, well, what can I say? How can you encourage someone to forgive when they don't want to? That's okay. The ones that were there wanted to forgive. And those are the ones, yay, we're going to go forward now. So if you take this home with you, your little paper, and put it someplace where you're going to be able to see it, and look at it. I don't care where it is, but they'll remind you every day, where is your, oh, another thing, change the place you put it, because I had it on the refrigerator, and then pretty soon, like, things, you get so you don't want to see it anymore. So I would change it, and when I realized I wasn't checking it out anymore, I would change it and put it in the bathroom, or put it in my bedroom, or put it in the living room. Oh, I put it on the television. I pasted it right away, put tape and put it on the TV, and the kids would say, "Get that down, Mother." And I said, "Not until you're up to a 10, then I'll take it down." And boy, they zapped to it right away. They wanted their TV program. But there's all kinds of little fun ways you can use this. And be creative. You'll be surprised what you'll come up with, because your kids, if you have kids, or your wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, it's wonderful. Because when they're down there, and it's the easiest thing just to say, oh, let's see, I think you're right down here. How can I help you get up here? That way you're not saying, oh, look at you, you're doing this wrong. You can just say, hey, I think we're down here. I think we're both down here. And I'm a little worried here. And I don't want to stay down here. Let's see if we can't meditate and get up here. And let's talk about this subject that we need to talk about when we're here, not when we're here. Because when we're here, we're in our egos, and we have to fight it out. I'm right, you're wrong. And then if you give in, you feel like you didn't say enough about yourself to win the argument. And you go over it 10 times in your head that you should have said this, you should have done that. And now let's start another argument, because now I know what I will say when it happens again. You know, those are the fun things that we do with ourselves. So anyway, this is my very special tool. I give it to you with love and compassion and joy from my heart to your heart, because it's brought me through many, many a challenge. Many, many a challenge. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And thank you for letting me share my journey with you.